I go to therapy without things needing to be at a detrimental state. Why would I wait until my relationship is at a detrimental state instead of if like I'm having a communication issue and we're trying to figure out how to communicate, why not go to therapy and figure out what it is that we need to do or try different ways?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Not like we just had an hour conversation before this.
It's fine.
But per tradition, let's cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers, cheers, cheers.
Thank you.
We're drinking some Cali Red Snoop Dogg wine, you know.
Gotta keep it OG, you know?
Dude, we do. I can't okay, how do you actually feel about this wine? Because you said you haven't tried the Snoop Dogg one.
This is good.
You like that one?
No, yeah, it's good. Mm. I got the app that where you like scan it and you see like what the person did. Like, I don't know if you've seen it, like what the crime that was committed. So that was kind of cool. And they like move and stuff.
Ooh.
But I think honestly, I've liked all of them, that I've tried. But this one's really good.
I like
that.
I will say though, his little like reaction that happens on the app is a little anticlimactic. Like,
oh,
it's
it?
Just, like, super short and it doesn't say anything interesting.
Oh. So, I haven't done it. Yeah.
Fully disappointed. So, you're not missing much.
Damn it, Snoop.
I know. But, okay, you know what I've been meaning to tell you?
What?
Is that I just watched episode one of the new Demi Lovato documentary.
Oh.
Okay, so I know that she's your girl and this totally fits into, like, what we're going to talk about because she's, like, a huge proponent of mental health and, like, substance abuse. We're not going to get into that part of things, but... I like had watched it actually like last week without even the thought of us recording. So, and I just like meant to tell you, cause I was like super moved watching the entire thing. Cause I didn't know that she had actually gone through like her relapse yet again. And then now she's having all these kind of like actual like brain damage, some residual brain damage. And then I think I sent you the Rogan episode.
I listened to it.
Yeah.
Yes.
So insane.
She's so inspiring, honestly. And it's not because it's like, oh, you know, she was in the dumps or this happened and, you know, she came out of it. And it's like, yes, she did, but she's still very real. She's still very raw about her journey. She's definitely not perfect.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I just appreciate that when somebody's just like, yeah, like I fucked up big time. Like I am who I am. Like this is even now, like with her, you know, California sober, like she still smokes weed, so she's not completely sober, but like at the end of the day, it's her life. Like she's doing what she's doing, but I think that it's just an inspiration that like you can pull through kind of thing, you know? And it's just like, it's her story. It's not anybody else's, it's her story. And it's just, I don't know, just the realness of it.
Yeah.
Like all the good, the bad, the ugly, you know?
And it's insane watching like so many child stars, I think, go through it. I think Bieber just came out with something, and I'm not like super into pop culture, so I hate that I know all of this, but I also work in social media, so I'm like surrounded. But basically like Bieber was coming out too on GQ where he was talking about like all of his struggles when he was like a young kid and how he found like God and then he got married to Hailey or whatever. But it always makes me wonder too with like all of those struggles, because we see like, right, I'll tie it in. I promise this all makes sense.
Oh, no. But you're good.
But so, you know, like, it essentially ties in, but you look at the turmoil all these people are, where they have, like, short engagements, they get out of them, or, like, you know, all the drama within their relationships, but we don't think about, like, their mental health journeys to get there. And it's, like, so much more, like, prevalent and prominent, and then you start hearing about, like, all of that kind of, like, mental and drug abuse and all that that kind of, like, goes into it, and then people start... like understanding that it's like a huge proponent in what's happened like with their past.
Right.
So speaking on that, I know like mental health is something that you and I talked about like a lot. And I know that you, well, I guess I'll actually let you introduce yourself and like what you're doing and what you're studying and kind of like, I guess your journey with like mental health itself.
Yeah. So right now I'm in my master's program for college counseling and student development. So my goal is to be a higher education counselor and to teach a self-development class. But I think just I'm a huge mental health advocate. I've had my own struggles with mental health since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I've had my traumas from when I was a kid. But I think that I didn't truly start that journey of like figuring out like why things were a certain way or why I do things a certain way until I was in college. And that's really where like my mental health journey began of like trying to figure out and heal from things that had happened in the past. And so I guess like the latest breakthrough in my mental health was 2 years ago. And that was when I found out that I actually have obsessive compulsive disorder.
I had no idea.
Yeah. So, and I'm very open to mm-hmm. talking about it because, again, I don't want it to be this stigma, you know. But that was like a huge, I guess, breakthrough in like to who I am
mm-hmm.
and understanding a lot of my behaviors from my adolescent years. It's just like all the dots started to connect of like why I was this way, why I was that way, mm-hmm. you know?
If you don't mind me asking, like where was the turning point where you felt that you maybe like needed therapy at a certain point, or you found out that like OCD was like this root cause of like all these things that you started to deal with or you were dealing with for a long time?
Yeah. So when I started seeking therapy was actually in my undergrad. So I first went to the psychologist, at the community college that I was going to. And it was just like, I felt myself not having motivation to really do anything. I was super tired. And that's kind of when I realized that I was depressed. And that was when I started exploring the trauma that I had endured when I was a kid. And so that was like the start. But the OCD was years later.
Interesting.
Like, yeah, so the OCD was probably like a year and a half to 2 years ago. And basically what happened, so with OCD, some people have compulsive behaviors. Some people have intrusive thoughts. So like a lot of people, when they think of OCD, they think like, oh, you like things to be like super clean. Or mm-hmm. like, oh, it's not really a bad thing. You're just like really neat. And it's like, no, like, yes, it's... Sometimes people like clean as a compulsion, but like it can be a very debilitating disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it was like intrusive thoughts. And when I had them, so basically it can take like your worst fear and make it feel like it's real, make it feel like personalize it,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so when that happened to me, like when I had my first essentially episode, I literally was like, and I was seeing a therapist like prior to then, but it wasn't until that breaking point where I was like, okay, I need to start working on this. Like, I don't know. I didn't know it was OCD at first. I was like, what is happening to me? Like, why am I thinking this way? Like, oh my gosh. Like, honestly, when that episode happened, that was like the second point in my life when I had suicidal thoughts and I was like considering it. And it was that like, nobody's gonna understand me. Nobody's gonna love me. Like, how am I ever gonna have kids? Like, you just start going and you start thinking about the future and you're just like, oh my gosh, like I'm a terrible person. Like, and so once I got, you know, I started going to therapy for that specifically, like my journey in therapy kind of switched and that was where I started to understand like what I have is OCD, and I actually take medication for it. So I take, it's called sertraline. And, ever since then, I had to find the right dosage for myself. And then, I've been on it for almost 2 years now, and it's significantly helped. And, but I think the last time I had an episode was like 6 months ago. But I think just being super aware of myself, my mental health, my triggers, creating boundaries has been huge, which is something that I've always been terrible with. Mm.
Can you kind of talk a little bit about that? Like, what does, I guess, like, what does creating a boundary mean to you? And maybe, like, advice for anybody that is kind of, like, in your position that maybe doesn't, like, realize that they are going through it. And, like, what can they do to, like, maybe prevent an episode or, I mean, obviously just subjectively speaking, yeah. but, like, small steps that they can take.
Yeah. So for boundaries, and I just want to note that, like, I am definitely no expert. This is all coming from, like, personal experience. So I just want to let everybody.
Totally. All subjective know. Stories.
Yeah. Again. Yeah. But I think boundaries is just, you have to take care of yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
You can't take care of yourself if you don't take care of anyone else. And that's with relationships, with friendships.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've always very much been that person that, like, I give 200% of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I go out of my way for people and for my friends and everything. And sometimes it comes naturally to me, but it's like honestly, sometimes it's unhealthy because I feel like I need to do all of this because I don't know if it's like to feel loved or to have that reciprocated towards me. And like a lot of times it's a disappointment because obviously, nobody should be giving 200% of themselves to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something that's affected me in like where I've kind of like restructured my thinking. And if there's something that I want to say no to because my mental health is not up for it, then I will say no to it. And that's something that I didn't do before. It was like I was stretching myself out so thin and like, you know, just doing things because I didn't want to disappoint. It was that fear of disappointing the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I mean, it's still a work in progress, but it's like, no, like I need to take care of me first before I take care of anybody else, you know? And luckily, like my partner, he's super supportive. And that was actually when we started dating, I was a little nervous to tell him about that
mm-hmm.
part of me. From the beginning, I said, like, you know, I'm a mental health advocate, blah, blah, blah. But I remember one night, this was probably, honestly, like a couple weeks, I think, into mm-hmm. dating. And we had a very serious conversation about, like, literally childhood to now.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him and I was like, you know, this is something that I've been very nervous to tell you about. And I told him, I was like, I have an anxiety disorder. Like I have OCD. And he thought it was going to be like something like detrimental, yeah. you know? And he was like
you went to prison for like yeah, 10 years.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And he was like, that's what you wanted to tell me. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, okay. So it's like,
we love him.
Yeah. Yeah. Love him. So that in the relationship aspect, it's so important to have those conversations
mm-hmm.
with your partner of where your mental health is at and where it's been, honestly, because it's like, yeah, you know, I used to suffer from depression, but you never know like what, I mean, life happens. You never know when you're going to be triggered again. I talked to him about my past traumas. He talked to me about his.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, it's this deeper level of understanding of where the person comes from. Now, not to say that just because of the stuff that you've been through, that doesn't mean that you can just use that as an excuse
yeah.
for your behaviors, right? It's to understand where your behaviors are coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't say like, oh, I have anger problems because this happened to me. And then just expect my partner to be okay with that. It's like, yeah. okay, I have it because of this trauma, but I need to figure out what I need to do to work through that.
Yeah.
And so I think that's, from what I've seen, that's where a lot of people struggle with, is with that, like, having that face-to-face with themselves and being like, okay, this happened, but, like, what do I need to do to make sure that, you know, this doesn't affect my future relationships, this doesn't affect my future friendships, and even more so, like, something that I talk to Mike all about, you know, on a frequent basis, is just making sure that, like, in the future, we provide our kids with that, it's the emotional maturity.
Mm-hmm.
It's like breaking that cycle of not talking about things or yeah. not expressing themselves, or, you know, like, I feel like for me as a Latina, it's very much that mentality of, like, the adults are speaking, the adults have the right of way. You don't really talk about certain things, kind of, you know, and now I'm just like, I've told my whole family, I'm like, look, this is where I'm at. This is where my mental health is at. I have OCD. Like, this is this. And I'm very much more vocal about myself now.
Mm-hmm.
And I want my kids to be vocal. And, you know, like, with my nieces and nephews, for example, like, if they're acting out, like, I'll sit them down and I'm like, okay, what's really going on? And he's like, blah, 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 you know? And I'm like, no, what's real? Why are you doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Are you upset? Yeah. Okay. Well, then say you're upset and tell me why you're upset.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. And it's just like, I don't know. It's just, that's, I feel like that's why, another reason why, like, I work so hard on myself is because I don't want my kids to, like, have the same experiences I did, I feel like.
Yeah. And I'm 100% with you too. I love that you brought this, like, your childhood into it, in, like, you know, the foreign culture thing, because I can a million times relate here, because I grew up in a culture of, like, I mean, everybody knows by this point, but, like, Russian culture is very, like, it's cold, you're not supposed to talk about anything. My parents, my entire life, have told me, suppress your emotion, don't overreact, don't react, don't talk about X, Y, and Z. Like, if I cried, I was reprimanded. Like, if I felt something, I was reprimanded. Like, if I felt, like, inadequate about something, I was reprimanded. Like, so, and I mean, in all reality, like, as shitty as that was, like, a lot of my emotional intelligence now comes from trying to, like, solve those traumas, like, on my own, while I don't go to therapy. Like, I'm very cognizant that that all happened to me, but I'm working on myself to improve those. But not a lot of people, I think, are as, like, emotionally, like, I guess, like, privileged maybe as I am to, like, understand that. So when I know that there's a lot of people, like, maybe those kids, your nieces and nephews, who, like, just don't understand, and they're not going to want to, and they grew up, like, lashing out or using that as an excuse for their behavior. So, I mean, you know, I love that you've been able to kind of, like, combat that, to understand that, to talk to your partner about that, to seek therapy for it. So how does that all, like, tie together with the way that you react in your, like, current relationship with your, like, relationships with your friends? Like, does it affect you day to day? Like, where do you, I guess, like, where do you take it after, like, being, like, prescribed, and, like, you know, going to therapy? Like, what happens next?
Well, with my friends, like, my friends know about, mm-hmm. like, my disorder. They know that I take medication, and I think just, like, I don't necessarily see it as, like, this evil thing. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, it's a part of who I am.
Yeah.
And those that love me are going to accept me for that. And that was, like, one of the things that I feared the most about just dating, honestly, is just, like, even before I found out that I had OCD, just, like, my mental health in general, like, I was scared to talk to people about it. And, like, not everybody reacts the same way. It's, like, some people, you know, when you tell them, like, you're depressed, and they're just like, yeah, well, you know, you just got to pull through. And it's, like, no, like, I literally, like, I have thought about killing myself.
Yeah. Or, like, brushing my teeth is, yeah. like, an all-day chore.
Yeah. Like, I yeah. feel like I'm carrying bricks around, mm-hmm. you know? And so that's, like, something that I've just come a long way in regards to, like, talking about and, like, I guess, like, just speaking my opinions
mm-hmm.
and just being truthful, because I used to just kind of, like, I was very much that person. I did not like confrontation. I just avoided it all, at all costs. So, like, I would always, even if something was bothering me, I would just swallow it until I exploded.
Yeah.
And obviously that's not healthy. So now I'm a lot more open to communicating. Like, if I'm feeling a certain way, or, like, having conversations, like, with my friends, or if my friends have, like, hurt my feelings, I'm more open to talking with them about it. And, like, those friends that truly care about me, like, they're willing to talk about it too and, like, resolve the problem. And, like, and that's one thing about, like, Mike, is I feel like I can talk to him without feeling, like, judged, or without, like, I just have that open communication. Even if he doesn't agree with what I'm saying, he lets me say what I have to say and mm-hmm. then, like, talk through it, you know? And that's yeah. something that I haven't really found mm-hmm. in the past of, like, I guess dating. And, like, I haven't really dated much in my life. Like, he's my first long-term relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So, and mind you, like, that's even been something that I've had to work on in our relationship, is saying when something bothers me, because I'm the type of person where I don't react right away.
Yeah.
I, like, have to think about it, and then I'll say something. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, like, if he does something that bothers me, and he's told me before, like, tell me when something is bothering me. Like, if I do something, tell me then and yeah. there. And it's something that I'm still working on, but I do end up telling him, you know, like, this bothered me or whatever, but I'm just working now on saying it then and there yeah. instead of, like, taking my time to think, should I say something? Should I not? Like, is it that big of a deal? And it's like, no, like, this bothered me or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, in that sense, I do think that I've come a long way. And I feel like it's also kind of, like, made my circle smaller.
Yeah.
In the best way possible.
And, but you don't need, like, people that are fillers, no. right? People that don't want to communicate, people that are going to, like, look at you differently because you were open and honest with them. Like, those are not people you want to keep around.
Right.
And I think the older that we get, the smaller that our circle is going to continue to get, because I think people just, like, fall the wayside because they're stuck in their own ways. They don't want right. to confront their own issues. And, like,
right.
while, you know, you, somebody who is, like, educated, who's got a healthy life, who's figuring out her traumas, who's dealing with them, who's communicating about them, like, somebody doesn't want to hear about that. Somebody wants to just go party and have you as the friend that they remember when they were 18 years old, right?
Right.
But that's not who we are, right? And you reach your 30s and you've got to, like, allocate your time appropriately. Like, dude, you're in grad school, you, like, are working, you know what I mean? Like, you've got family, you've got a boyfriend, you've got hobbies, you've got all these other things that are surrounding you, and, like, that's where you want to keep it. So you have to be smart with that time.
Exactly.
But I love it. So we were texting a little bit, and we touched upon the effects of like, mental health and, like, ghosting, and also the ability to commit. And I know that this is the first time that you've been in this, like, long-term commitment. So what was the change that you felt with Mike? And then I guess, where did you, or I guess, like, why were you, like, ghosting and, like, walking away from those commitments, like, in your early 20s?
Okay, so a lot of it stemmed from insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, and this was just how I felt in high school, I was kind of like that girl that, like, I was always, like, with the boys, but I was, like, one of the boys.
Mm-hmm.
And I was comfortable because I grew up with all boys. So that was, like, my comfort zone. But I feel like all my friends, and I was also kind of like a late bloomer in, like, yeah. the development aspect. So all my friends had, like, these womanly bodies, and I'm over here like, okay, like, this is cool.
Which is, like, crazy because you're just, like, hella, like, gorgeous.
Well, thank you. No, but seriously, so it was always like guys would want to like talk to my friends, but never like me. Mm-hmm. So I kind of took that through like college, and I guess I don't know. I would reject guys. Like, even if they asked me, like, can I take you to dinner? I would just be like, no, thanks. And, like, I didn't even know this guy. Like, I could get to know them, but, like, off the bat. And I think it was, like, partially, like, a fear of rejection. And also just, I don't really, like, it's that trust. The trust aspect. Putting myself out there for somebody. And like, I just, I didn't really like start like dating, I guess, until maybe like my mid 20s. Okay. I want to say that was when like I would let guys like take me out to dinner and stuff. Yeah. And I would just, my friends would be like, you're so picky. And like, I was. For a long time, I was picky in, like, the worst possible. Like, I used to hang out with, like, a bunch of bodybuilders. And so mm-hmm. I would be like, they have to, you know, have these, like, muscles. And they have to do, you know, yep. just the yep. most unrealistic
like, a lot shit. Of it's, like, rooted in, like, vanity.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yes. And so, but then when I would date, I would just kind of be like, eh, next. You know? Yeah. I don't know. I think I also really feel people's energy mm-hmm. and like this is something like I've talked to Mike about this. I like my friends, like I just have this like intuition and I know yeah. and so when I would meet them I would like make up an excuse like, oh no, he's just like too like nerdy for me, or he's too this or he's too that, but I like deep down like I really felt like this isn't it, like mm-hmm. this just I just know it. Like, yeah. this isn't going to work, you know? And so I would literally have, like, a date with a guy, and then I would ghost them. It's horrible. It is horrible. I don't know why
like,
I did that.
Would you, like, just ignore them and
for a while,
pretend they didn't exist?
For a while, I would just not text back. And then finally, I would be like, okay, I need to, like, tell him. And I would just say, like, you know, like, this is not working out. And then, or I'm just like not ready. And I really wasn't ready. Like, I mean, I wasn't lying when I said I wasn't ready, but like, I didn't have to ghost them. That's for sure. But,
in your mid, like in our mid 20s, like nobody's ever taught not to ghost. I right. think it's like now that we get to like our age, we're like, okay, we should probably shouldn't be like assholes and right. like let somebody know we're not into them.
Totally. And then, yeah. And then I started dating kind of like, just for like a few more than just like a date, a few years before Mike. And I think there, like, I just really learned like what I like, what I don't like, my boundaries that I have. And yeah, that's just kind of been, I was just always that like single friend, mm-hmm. just literally my whole life. I was just like, the single one. All my friends had boyfriends. All my friends went through boyfriends, you know? Yeah. But I was okay with it. I just didn't, honestly, like, part of it was definitely that, like, insecurity and just, like, myself, my body. I mean, yeah. body image has been something that I've been insecure about. But it was also, like, I just don't want to deal with it mm-hmm. with other people. So. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that, like, all makes sense. But at the end of the day, too, I think you had more time to focus on yourself as an individual and be strong in, like, your own self-awareness to be able to, like, give yourself 100% to somebody else, like, if that's, like, if so you choose, right?
Right.
Or, like, to be, like, present with somebody else. I should probably, like, reword that because I feel like giving yourself seems like a very, like, 1950s statement, which we don't condone. Yeah.
No, yeah. Totally agree. I don't regret any of my dating because it at the end of the day like it all led to where I'm at now. It was all a learning experience, growth. I'm not perfect. I haven't been perfect.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just different when you like find that person that like really accepts you for you and like challenges you to be you, you know? And it kind of just like, I was thinking about this the other day. And like, I text Mike the other day and I was having like, you know, like I've said that, I mean, we've all gained weight in this pandemic. At least I have. Majority of us.
Okay, I'm feeling a little thick with
yeah,
not three C's, not, but CK lately.
Yeah. So definitely gained some weight. But like I texted him and I was just having a moment and I was like, you know, I was like, would you love me if I was 190 pounds? And he responded with, well, would you love yourself? And I was like, well, it depends if I'm pregnant or not. That was so stupid. I was like, well, am I pregnant or not? But for the record, I'm definitely not pregnant. But just that response, will you love yourself? Because at the end of the day, that's what matters.
Yeah.
Like, do I love myself? Because even if he loves me, but I don't love myself, I'm still not going to be happy.
Yeah.
So.
That is the most beautiful response I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Okay. Ladies and men, please take notes that if your partner ever says that phrase, that is how you respond, because that's fucking bonkers. That right there, ladies and gentlemen, this is over. I'm cheating. Yes.
And we're done for today.
But that's beautiful, and that's, I think that like shows his own like emotional maturity.
Yeah,
because he's able to approach you with a statement of like, oh my god, like instead of like freaking out and being, where is this coming from? Like,
yeah,
blah, blah, are you insecure with us? Like, yeah, he's literally like, I want you, like, that question is rooted in your happiness.
Totally.
It doesn't matter whether or not he exists, but he believes in the fact that, like, you are mentally there for yourself and mentally present and, like, loving your, like, mental, emotional, and physical well-being.
Yeah, 100%. And that's how, you know, I feel like our relationship is very much, like, we have to be happy with ourselves and, mm-hmm, like, happy with each other is like a bonus, you know. Yeah. But like at the end of the day, neither of us are going to be happy unless we're okay with ourselves, you know, and we love ourselves. And like, and that's something that like I see so often. It's like, and I have some friends and it's just like, god, like I want the best for them like so bad, but it's like, if you don't love yourself, it doesn't matter if the next guy loves you or the next, it's like, you, no matter what, you're still going to be unhappy with yourself.
Yeah.
And obviously we're going to have moments where we don't feel our best, and but that's natural. I mean, that's life.
Yeah.
But it's like, you shouldn't look for that, I guess, like affirmation, constant affirmation in somebody else if you can't give that affirmation to yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Something that this kind of like triggered for me is, it's like, what if somebody is dealing with, I guess, like episodes or feelings of anxiety and depression, and they feel like they can't get out of that hole of like loving themselves because they feel like they have this like weight, right? Because I mean, I've been there. I think that you have been there as well. Mm-hmm. Like what are people supposed to do in like that field?
Well, in that sense, it's, well, you have to ask yourself, what do I need to do?
Mm-hmm.
Do I need to talk to somebody about this? Do I need, am I so depressed that like I need to take medication? And I am so not against medication, but I do also think that it should be supplemental to therapy, because a pill is not going to just fix you. You have, it literally helps balance out those chemicals in your brain that are off, but the work has to be done with talking to somebody, whether that's somebody at your church, whether that's your therapist or whatever, your spiritual mentor, whatever that looks like for whoever, you know? And so, but yeah, like, I think you need, that's what you need to ask yourself, is like, am I doing what I need to do? And even if you have no idea what to do, reach out to somebody. You know, there's resources everywhere. If you need that guidance, you can get that guidance. But it's not staying in that hole of like, this is where I am. and just kind of sitting there, mm-hmm. you know? And if you're in a place so bad that, like, you literally can't get out of that hole, reach out to somebody.
Yeah. The resources are there.
The resources are there. It's just a lot of people don't know, or they're too scared to get that help, or the stigmas, you know, of, like, being weak and, mm-hmm. you know, being crazy. And it's like, no, like, it's just, you have to take care of yourself. Just like you go to the doctors for freaking
an annual.
Yeah. For that, or a cold or whatever. Like, you go to the doctors. Are you, like, scared to tell people you're going to the doctors? Like, you don't have to be scared to tell people that you're going to therapy. I'm so open about going to therapy or whatever, like, you know. And it's just, that's why I advocate so much for mental health and for, you know, doing what you have to do. Each person's different. I'm not saying everybody has to go to therapy, even though low-key, like, deep down inside, I think everybody should go to therapy.
Yeah, but it's true. And something I read, too, is like, it's important to get therapy before you even need it to be able to work through problems before they arise.
Yeah.
And I think that genuinely resonated with me. And, like, again, I'm going to preface with the fact that I do not go to therapy, and every single episode I'm like, I need therapy. Right. But in all reality, like, you're so correct. Right. Because, like, so many people, like, are dealing with these issues, and then it's like, boom. And you realize, like, you're in a deep, dark space. Right. And it's, what if we can tackle that before we get there? Right. Because I wish I did that.
Right.
Like, before I, like, got into, like, a deep, dark space at the beginning / end of last year, like, it, like, I could have saved myself months of, like, turmoil. Right. It was interesting. So I didn't pull any OCD stats, unfortunately, but I pulled some depression and anxiety stats. But these are from ADAA, so the Anxiety and Depression Association of America. But anxiety affects 40 million adults in the U.S. every year. Then women are 2 times more likely than men to experience anxiety, which I had no idea, and I was really shocked by. Mm-hmm. Only 39% of people with anxiety actually get treatment. And then for major depressive disorder, more than 16.1 million American adults are diagnosed. And then, again, this is also more prominent in women than in men, which, again, I also thought was extremely interesting. And I don't know if that was – there was no like, breakdown as to why, but I wonder if it has anything to do with disclosing that you're dealing with it. Because I feel like maybe a lot of times women are a little bit more, like, open with, like, discussing the fact or feeling like they are in a questionnaire or an environment where they're like, you know what, like, I am dealing with this, versus, like, a male counterpart. Again, I'm not sure. I'm just only making a speculation. But, I mean, I don't know if you can shine more light on it. But those are some just, like, interesting stats that I found. And I was, like, pretty blown away too at the, like, low number of people that are, like, receiving, like, treatment, you know, anything from medication to therapy.
Right. So yes, I do think, at least in my experience of, you know, so I got my bachelor's in human services, but with a mental health track. So in my experience of learning and in, like, my time working and everything, I do think that it is easier for women to talk about their mental health than it is for a man. And that's just kind of, like, that societal stigma of, you know, a lot of times, especially, like, for me, like, in my culture, it's like the men are the strong ones, mm-hmm. you know, like, it's that machismo, like, we don't need to talk about anything, you know, we're fine, just deal with it. And then women, you know, I mean, women go through a lot, and not at all to say that men don't go through a lot.
Yeah.
Because I think it's, you know, each person's different.
Yeah.
But I feel like the woman body itself goes through a lot. And, like, for some people, like, their anxiety is brought upon by, like, birth control, or, like, you know, certain imbalances in their body, or, you know, like, I don't know, women experience, well, actually, both women and men can experience postpartum depression.
But, I actually didn't know that.
Yeah. So, but the woman, I mean, her body, it's the constant change, you know? But I think that's, like, why we just need to talk about it more, is just, like, that mental health aspect. And especially for men, like, to normalize talking about that. I don't know if you've watched the YouTube It was a podcast, but then now it's like a YouTube show. It's called I Am Athlete.
I've heard of this, but I've never watched it.
Yeah. So it has, Brandon Marshall, Channing Crowder, Ocho Cinco, and, Frank Taylor.
Okay.
So those are like the main guys, I believe. They usually have like a guest, but they talk, they're these ex-NFL players, but they talk about this. They talk about the fact that like men don't sit down and have conversations about mental health and like where they're at and like how they're feeling. And it's just like, why not?
Yeah.
Like, why? What is so wrong about it? Like, why? Because it shows that you're weak. Like,
in what world?
In what world? Yeah. And it's like, okay, so you're not talking about this, but then it's affecting your relationship with your parents or your relationship with your significant other or with your friends, or because you just don't want to disclose that you're going through something, you know?
So I guess like it, with that being said, like when you are in that like relationship with whatever, like whether it be like your parents, your significant other, whoever's like closest to you, and you have these like boundaries and barriers up, like how do you break them, and like what is the best way to talk about them? Because I know that you had approached Mike like right in the past being like, shit, like I'm nervous to just tell you. And I just like recently also had like a similar conversation. I just kind of like word vomited mine, but like, is there like a best way to like talk about it or to bring it up, or like, I guess like what would your advice be?
I think that honestly, just bringing it up.
Yeah.
I don't think there's ever necessarily a perfect moment or mm-hmm. like, you know, it has to be when you're feeling sad, or I think just like, if this is something that you feel like your parents or your sibling or whatever, they need to know, or they need to know where you're at, just tell them,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it's like, for example, like, with my family, like if I'm having some, like my anxiety is very heightened, I will say like, hey, I just want to let you know, like, sorry if I'm kind of like, you know, a little down or like not very talkative, just my anxiety is bothering me today, but like, I'm good, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's just like even shooting a text like, hey, like, or even if, you know, I think it's a lot of times, and I know I used to do this like to my friends, but it's just like, sometimes, you know, you have your friends that you go and you tell everything to, mm-hmm. right? But I think sometimes even just asking like, hey, like, how are you doing? Like, there's something that I want to talk about, but like, are you good if you want it? Like, do you have the energy? Or like, I just want to make sure like you're good, because sometimes you never know if the other person is like going through their own stuff. And then it's like, you just spill everything, all this stuff, not to say that they can't be there for you, but like, that's a part of having boundaries. It's like, you know what? Like, honestly, today my anxiety is kind of heightened. Can we meet up tomorrow? Or can we like mm-hmm. do a phone call tomorrow? Like, I'm just not feeling that good today. You know, like if this is like a major emergency, like, do you need like a professional, you know, mm-hmm. like just stuff like that. I think yeah. that's a part of creating those boundaries, is like making sure that your significant others are, you know, okay with you, or have the mental capacity yeah. to accept it, but also you not being like afraid to say it if they are okay, if
yeah.
that makes sense.
No, and I like 100% follow that sentiment. And like a clear example too is, so I mentioned this a couple times, but like towards the end of last year and the beginning of this year, I was dealing with some like heavy depressive and anxiety issues that I've never dealt with before. And so I was trying to navigate my own waters, but like when you're in a space that you're like managing, or you're around people and they come to you with problems, because I feel like I'm always the person that like people just like come to, because you're like, she's got it all together, she's happy, she's whatever. So people literally text me out of the blue being like, hey, I'm feeling X, Y, and Z. And I'm always 100% in right. to help somebody. But when I was in that mental state and I was having people that were like coming to me with their like depressive episodes, like because I was taking on the weight of their problems, it heightened my own problems like tenfold. And I felt like I just kept digging a hole that I like couldn't even get out of, but I didn't have the heart to be like, I can't even like text you back today. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, So I think that that is like so important to just even ask, because I think we forget that other people are human too. And like I always say, like, check on your strongest friends, because like most of the time we just don't know what they're dealing with. And it's right. so, so true, because that person that you think looks perfect on the outside, and I'm not saying me in general, I'm just saying in all reality for every single person that's in your life, right? Like they could have dealt with like a death. They could have dealt with, you know, like whatever, a breakup that caused a depressive episode. They're dealing with OCD, depression, anxiety. It doesn't matter what it is, but that day that you reach out to them could be their worst day.
Right.
So to throw in an extra trigger on that, and that's not saying that your problems are not important, because they absolutely are, but just checking in on each other. I think right. it's just having that like kind of like dual pull. Wow. I love that. I literally like... I don't know why, like, I always knew, but, like, I don't think I've ever had somebody, like, say that out loud to say, like, hey, check on the other person that you're reaching out to, because, like, yeah. I don't think about it a lot either, but until I had experienced that, like, you know,
yeah.
that issue that I was like, damn, like, fuck, like, I just wish today was not the day that I got, like, this text or whatever, yeah. or the Slack, or I don't know, but, yeah, I think communication is key in all aspects, and I think that we're very fortunate in a lot of ways in this generation to have, like, the internet, to have social media, to say like, hey, communication and mental health is important. But I think we all still are definitely like learning how to communicate, right?
Right.
And so it goes back to the point of you saying, you know, everybody needs therapy. Right. Because I think therapy not only teaches you to deal with your own mental capacity, but like to be able to communicate with oh, yeah. other people.
For and it's like, that's the thing is like, you don't have to be depressed to go to therapy. You don't have to have anxiety or even be going through a mental health episode.
Yeah.
It's like, I go to therapy sometimes just because I'm like, okay, I'm trying to figure out how to time manage this because this next month is going to be. So like, I'll literally talk to my therapist about that. Like I have this and this going on. I'm like a little overwhelmed because I'm trying to like time manage everything. Like, and they'll give me their input. And like, that's the thing is just like, sometimes you need to hear it or hear that perspective from somebody else.
Yeah.
And the thing about a therapist is it's that if you talk to somebody like close to you, there's going to be like that bias, you know? But if you talk to a therapist, it's like, they're not going to favor one thing or the other. It's just like, they're just going to talk to you and like,
yeah.
And I think it's just like, my favorite thing is just learning new things about myself and like those aha moments.
Mm-hmm.
Those are like where I'm like, oh shit, like that totally makes sense, you know? And so it's like, yeah, I mean, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, lay it on me. I'm just like staring at you because I love listening to you talk. Yeah.
So what is your reasoning for not going to therapy? And honest is, you know.
Yeah, literally. That's fine. I can't remember if I've talked about this. I think I have. But for me, well, like one, cultural stigma. I think that's a hard one for me to break. I know that like I'm an only child and I always have like my parents in the back of my head where right. they're just like, oh, therapy, like it means like there's like mentally something wrong with you. Like you're basically in a psych ward, which is not true, by the way, for anybody that's listening, that's not true. So if you're having those thoughts, they're wrong. Like, please like talk to somebody about that. Cause I know I myself like deal with that all the time. Two, price point. I think a lot of it is like extremely expensive. I don't necessarily have like $75 to $100 every time to go to therapy. Like I think Orange County is expensive and, you know, being a person living in Orange County, living alone, I think is like the white picket fence of all things. So like that's like expensive enough. So it's like just like another bill to pay, right? And then time, I think I spread myself thin a lot. So I think the last thing I have like time for is like definitely therapy, which in all reality, I know there's like after hours therapy. Like it's not like a midday thing where I have to go to 2 p.m. when I have like a 9 to 5.
Right.
So I think that like is a little bit debunked. But also another one is, which I know I still need the help, but I'm also very like emotionally intelligent. I've spent a lot of time working on myself. So like I know a lot of the issues, anxieties and depressions that I deal with like day to day are like from my like family and like childhood trauma. Like mm-hmm. there's a bunch of shit that's happened in my childhood that's definitely affected and impacted the way that I communicate, the way I react, the way that like I hold my friendships, the way that I do things on a day to day, whatever that may be. And so I think that because I've spent the last 10 years trying to like really work on myself, like I'm not saying that I don't think therapy is beneficial. I just feel like I've taken a lot of steps to like try to work on myself. So I think if I was in a position where like I wasn't doing the work, because a lot of work happens outside of therapy, right? Then I think I'd be more inclined to go and kind of like test things out. But I think for me, because like, again, I'm like really like, I'm just genuinely interested in psychology. So yeah. Because I'm doing the research on the side, I'm just like interested. I'm talking to my friends who are like psychiatrists. It makes that like a lot easier for me to like understand like who I am as a person and why I react in certain ways. And again, not to say that I don't need to go. I definitely do need to. But those are like some of the big like overarching reasons. And I think that like, so I think that eventually I'm going to go. And I think since isolation and since the pandemic, I've been really having like a hard time. And one, living alone. Two, working from home and like being like away from like physical individuals. And right now I'm going to be like working like a remote job. So I think it's only going to get like a little bit harder for me mentally because I am such like a social human being.
Right.
And I'm really fortunate and lucky that like the studio is now open. We're like at half capacity and stuff. And so we like, I'm at least going to be like surrounded by people. I have a very like loving partner and he's like super understanding. And but I have, however, had like a few like depressive episodes that have been rough, like for 3 months, for like some of the like first few months that we were together, I was dealing with some just like awful mental shit. Like he'd be coming over and I'm like just crying for no reason. I'm upset. Like I just like, I'm breaking down. Like I'm tired. I can't like work out. Like I can't get out of bed. Like I, you know, like things are just like affecting me and I'm trying to put up this like front. And you know, for a while it's like, he didn't know. And then I'd start talking to him about it. Like I literally word vomited while driving. And I was like, my depression is so bad. I just don't know what to do. Like, and he's just like, oh, it's like 9 PM. We're like driving from like just seeing all of our friends, you know? And he, I mean, he's incredible. He's like talked me through it and he's like definitely like pushed me to like go to therapy because he's been to therapy and he's been a couples therapy. He's been a regular therapy. So he's a huge proponent of like, you know, mental health and like supporting me in that way. And even I think 2 weeks ago, like it had been a couple months since I've had like a depressive episode, but we were sitting on my couch and he'd come over and he was like talking to me about something that he was dealing with. And he was just being open and honest. And Lorena, like out of nowhere, start bawling. I'm like sitting like, he's like, oh my God, like, are you like, what's happening? Like, are you okay? And I'm like the depression is so bad and I don't know why. Like, I literally did not know why. Like I had a great day. Like everything was good. Everything was well. And I'm just bawling my eyes out.
Right.
And he was like, I think you like just reevaluate like therapy. Cause I, you know, have this like stigma of like, I'm fine, I don't need it. But he's like, it might just do you like a lot of wonders. Cause there's only so many things that he can do for me. You know what I mean? But he's so great in saying like, I just don't want you to shut me out. And he's like, just talk to me. He's like, don't feel like you're like inept in some sort of ways. Like, he's like, I'm here for you. He's like, I've been through it, you know, and I think because this is my first time with like actually dealing with somebody, something so like traumatic for me, at least, like I just didn't know how to approach it.
Right.
So that's where I sometimes ask the question of like, how do you like talk to your partner? Because like, I just have this like awful way of breaking down when it gets to a bad point versus saying like, hey, I feel like it's kind of building up, or like, hey, I've been dealing with this. Like, I just kind of wait for it to get really bad and then I break down. But again, I know a lot of that is very cultural for me. And so I'm trying to break those habits. And I've told him too, like I'm trying to break the habit of shutting down when things get bad, because like that's how my mom reacts.
Right.
And so I get that a lot from her personality. But I watched my parents fight my entire life. Like I watched my mom shut my dad out for weeks at a time. And like, I don't want that. Like, I don't want to be that.
Right.
So like, I don't want him to experience that either, because he doesn't deserve it. Neither do like any of my friends. So like, see, and like, that's where the logic comes in, right? Where I know I'm doing it. I know where it comes from. It's a matter of like me kind of just working it out. So I'm not saying I'll never go to therapy. I'm just saying, getting there. I'm just having a hard time with admitting that like I'm gonna make the appointment and go. So a really long answer to your question.
No, I get that. And I think, and trust me when I say, you are not alone in that. And I think especially now, like kind of how you said, like now you're going to be working from home, and like this whole pandemic has had such a impact on so many people's mental health, even people that like didn't experience, you know, depression or anxiety before. It's just like, what the hell is this? Like, I've never had an issue with this, or like, and it's just like, yeah, it's some, like literally our lives were flipped upside down in the matter of days. And then it was like, all right, now deal with it. Now figure it out. Yeah. And it's like, whoa, like what the hell am I supposed to do now? You know, kind of thing. And it's like, yeah, that's like a shock to our bodies, you know, and like not being around people, you know, especially when, like you said, like you're such a social person, and like, it's hard. It's definitely hard. And I think it's, you know, that increase in mental health services during this pandemic is huge in the need for them. But I mean, I'm better get a text the day that you decide.
You will be the first to know.
I'm like, if you need help, let me know. You know, do you have health insurance?
I do. Well, I'll be flipping health insurance. So, but I mean, both jobs have health insurance. Yes. Do you think that is covered? Is that what you're going to say?
No, it is.
Oh.
All health insurances, if you look on the back of the card, usually there's behavioral health services, and you call that number and they can connect you to different mental health services in the area. You might have to pay like $10 or $15 per visit, but like, come on.
That's not, yeah, that's literally the lunch, right? Yeah. But I'm not saying that that's not a lot of money, but just, I mean, I can sacrifice not getting a beer one of these weekends.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. That's like, wow. I actually had no idea, because I was always like, I've talked to friends who are like, yeah, it's like $75 to $100 a session. But like, I mean, I'm not really like using my insurance anyways. Like, you know, being a knock on wood, like healthy individual, like I'm not needing to go to the doctor as much as like, you know, somebody like my parents' age. So I might as well like utilize like the services that I have. Oh, another thing too is like, so, you know, it's kind of like a relationship, right? Where you have to find the right match and the right fit. And that, like, I think I don't have patience a lot of times. I'm patient in a lot of ways, but that's not one of them. Like, I just hate going to the doctor. Like, I just won't do it. Like, literally the dentist is like pulling my own teeth. Like, I won't go. Like, I mean, I'll go when I have to go, but like, it's like, I'll wait till the last minute.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, I get that. And it's definitely a journey for sure. Finding, a therapist that you click with. Sometimes you get lucky and it's like right off the bat. Other time, I mean, I've gone through quite a few therapists, you know, because it's just like sometimes, and it doesn't mean that they're bad therapists. It's just like you feel more comfortable with certain people. And you just click with certain people, like just each therapist does their style of therapy like differently.
Yeah. Oh,
interesting. So you have to find what works for you. You know, but yeah, I mean,
question.
Yeah.
How do you feel about couples therapy?
Oh, hell yeah. All for it.
I want to. Okay. So I just kind of want to know more. So I've only kind of like heard about, I've basically only heard about couples therapy for couples that are going through like really rough times. So like people in like marriages that are like struggling and stuff like that. Do you see that it's a benefit to go prior to that, like you would with normal therapy?
Absolutely. So my thing, and this again goes back to myself, you know, I go to therapy without things needing to be at a detrimental state. Why would I wait until my relationship is at a detrimental state? Instead of, if like I'm having a communication issue and we're trying to figure out how to communicate, why not go to therapy and figure out what it is that we need to do, or try different ways? Like, that's the thing, is I think sometimes people think it's like you have to get to that breaking point. And it's like, no, you absolutely don't have to get to that breaking point. Like, there's nothing wrong with trying to figure out, you know, how to communicate better with, you know, your significant other, or your friend, or your family member. Like, I think I'm all for it. Like, I don't think you have to be married to to do couples therapy. And I don't think things, you know, have to, shit has to hit the fan for, to go to therapy.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's like, if you want to learn more about your partner, try, you know, if for some reason, let's just say even with sex, like just, I don't know, there's been like an issue with like emotional, mm-hmm. you know, an emotional struggle or, you know, detachment or whatever. And you guys are trying to figure that out, then go. Like, why wait until it gets so bad to where there's a possible point of like no return?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I'm all for it. I think it's healthy. I think it shows that you really want to learn with your partner.
Yeah.
And you're gonna continue learning and changing with your partner. Like, I like what your love language is right now, I feel like may not be your love language 10 years from now.
That's so fascinating.
Yeah.
Cause I always feel like something that is like almost like, embedded into like who you are, right, as like a person. But I think you're right. Right. Like different circumstances, yeah, can change, different like life avenues that you take, whatever that may be.
Right.
Have you gone to couples therapy?
Yes. So I did one session.
Mm-hmm.
So I do my normal therapy, but through the telehealth that my school offers,
mm-hmm.
I can bring people in. So like I can bring my mom in, I can bring my friend in, like whoever. So there was one time that I actually brought Mike in, and it was just like an issue of, you know, communication and how to better communicate about things. And he was all for it. I was all for it. And I think that it just helps us understand better of like, sometimes you just don't, you really like don't know like where things are coming from.
Yeah.
You know, like you're doing, like, for example, like you keep doing this thing, right? And it's bothering me. I have no idea why it's bothering me, mm-hmm. so much. Like, but you keep doing it.
Yeah.
And they don't know how to help you because you don't know how, what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, let's go and talk about it and maybe see like what the root, like why it's bothering me so much.
Yeah.
You know, is it bothering me because in my last relationship, this happened, or because my dad always did this, or, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, we did just that one session, but, I mean, I think it definitely helped to, like, what we were trying to get from it,
mm-hmm.
in regards to, like, that communication and, you know, and he's, that's something that I asked him, like, early on, like, would you be down for couples therapy? Because I'm not going to wait until we're like, you know,
40.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And almost ready to get a divorce to go to couple. Like, I want to do couples therapy because I want to have a healthy relationship, you know? So I encourage everybody. I mean, you have to do what's best for you. I just don't want the reason that you don't go because you think that you have to go when shit hits the fan.
Yeah. If anybody's listening, please rewind that, myself included. Rewind, re-listen, 30 seconds. Thank you.
On repeat.
Mic drop, bitches. ASMR that shit. But it's true. Yeah. I think you're like really right. And I think this year is like extremely, well, and 2020 has been like extremely like pivotal for us in the mental health space, just in general. Like, we're seeing a huge need for therapists, we're seeing a huge need for therapy, and just like us as a society to be able to even say like, hey, I'm struggling at work, like,
right,
I have burnout, like these little things. And like what I admire with like the teams that I've worked with is, you know, the people that have like reported into me and like vice versa, where we've been able to say like, hey, like I just had like 3 panic attacks, like I'm kind of like in a rough space, or like, hey, like I'm really dealing with burnout, and like us being able to say like, or go to HR and be like, hey, like how are we handling this as a company? So, and that's super admirable, I think, in this generation, because I don't think that that was ever accessible before. Like, I think before it was more so of like, you're making shit up to take a day off.
Right.
You know, and like, I think we've all been guilty of that, right? Yeah. Like, you think about us like 5 or 6 years ago, like even somebody taking a sick day, we're just like, oh, fucking Christ. Or like a work from home day. I'm like, oh my God, like, what are you doing at home? But it's definitely not that. It's, you know, it's looking out for yourself. It's a self-care. Like, we're allocating, you know, 40, 50, 60 hours a week at work. And, you know, how much does that leave us for like personal time? And a lot of us have like second jobs on the side. A lot of us have like families, other obligations. And that leaves us what, like an hour a day for like self-care.
Right.
That's like mental stress right there.
Yeah.
So it's just like crazy how far I think we've come. And I think we're only going to get further. And this is only going to be like a new door that's like opening up over and over again.
Right.
So.
And especially, I think just like, right now, just the way, you know, all of like the social injustice and racial injustices and everything, it's just like everybody is being affected by it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think just everything's in the open.
That's exactly what it is. Because this is none of this is new. Like, this has always been happening.
Yeah.
And it's funny to me when I see people on social media or whatnot, and you know, it's like, oh, you know, racism isn't a thing anymore, or whatever isn't a thing. It's like, or they excuse it with, you know, well, for example, and I don't give a shit, like, this is my opinion, but like,
full form
for President Trump, like, it was like this whole thing of like, well, he's not the one who did it. It was our founding fathers who did this. And I'm like, okay, and what the fuck is he doing to make it better? Mm-hmm. Like, just because things are a certain way or were built a certain way doesn't mean that they're good. Yeah. It doesn't mean, and that, you know, and I feel like that ties in with even like us in relationships is like, just because our generations have done things this way doesn't mean that we have to continue repeating that generational cycle of our parents, of our grandparents, of, you know, it's like, no. And like, that's honestly like what I strive for, is to break all these generational cycles. Cause I'm not going to do shit the same way. No. Like, you know, and so it's,
but think about women's rights, think about black rights. Like, all that was like written in the Constitution, meaning we had no rights.
Right.
That was set in stone, and like, let's be honest, that's not something that we're gonna continue forward.
No.
Right? Like, so it's making that change, it's being cognizant of it, it's like pushing forward, it's, you know, doing things that are better in like the free world. Like,
right.
I think that's like the privilege that we all like have.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So
damn, dude. It's a fucking wild time to be alive, I'll tell you that.
Oh, let me tell you. It is freaking, people are wild.
I know.
This world is crazy.
That's what I'm saying. That's why we all need therapy. It's really just for the fucking world. Oh, no.
I'm like, y'all heard her. That's why we all need therapy. I'm just saying.
But with that being said, I feel like that's like such a good closing point. I would love to know if like you have anything that you, like, any final notes you want, like, people to take away or to know, or, like, where to find you, just anything.
Yeah, I think that, right now, and again, with everything that's going on, just have grace with yourself and where you're at in your journey, honestly. I think that, know that you're not alone, first of all, for anybody who's experiencing any sort of mental health or whatever you're going through, you're not alone. But just have grace. And yes, sometimes the journey sucks ass, but you'll make it through, you know?
And lean on your community.
Exactly. Lean on those that love you. Lean on the resources that are available for you. If you have no idea where to even start, Google. Honestly, you can find everything and anything on Google. Reach out to somebody. You know, and it's, yeah, just, we need to be spreading love, you know, yeah, to one another and understanding. I think that's a big thing. But yeah, if anybody needs to reach me, Maria can,
I'll tag you.
Yeah.
I'll tag
you. Like she can tag me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think just everybody have grace.
Yeah.
Grace on yourselves, grace on one another.
Yeah. And self-care is it, baby.
Self-care. All Dude. The way.
Let's cheers on that. Let's self-care cheers. And good mental health, baby.
Yes.
Yes. Cheers.